Aren't you glad he's alive? Yes. Did you all enjoy the services last week?
Yes.
I had a little taste of heaven. Little taste of heaven, a little taste of the wine of heaven, God's Spirit, his glory being manifested in our midst. And we want more of that, don't we? I just thank the Lord every day. He's a consuming thought on my mind. I don't know about you, but I think about him constantly. I'd like to just hook up where we left off last healing school. How many of you know that God's Word is progressive revelation? And I believe as we dig into the Scriptures, there's things that unfold to us, the truth within his Word. We're learning more about faith and the operation of faith, and we've seen a lot of things in different examples from the Scripture that we looked at. Today, I'd like to look at the woman with the issue of blood. And in this account, Jesus, at the very end, makes this statement, "Daughter, thy faith has made you whole." And within the account, there's so much revelation. And it's interesting in Mark's account. Mark is pretty lengthy. When you look at Matthew, when you look at Luke's account, Matthew's only three verses. And you look at Luke, I think it's maybe five. But when you look at Mark 5, it's pretty lengthy. And we'll be looking at that text, but we'll be looking at also what Matthew had to say concerning the woman with the issue of blood. But I'd like you to turn to Luke 4. Luke 4, verse 16 through 21. This is the Amplified. I just like the way it's worded here. Verse 16 says, "And he came to Nazareth," this is Jesus, "that Nazareth, where he had been brought up. And he entered the synagogue, and as his custom was, he entered the synagogue on the Sabbath day, and he stood up to read. And there was handed to him the roll of the book of the prophet." Now, in those days, they didn't have chapters and verses, so Jesus must have been very familiar with the Scriptures to find this and to unroll it. "He opened and unrolled the book and found the place where it was written." And he's referring to Isaiah 61, verses 1 and 2. And it's a good study to look it up in the Old Testament, in the book of Isaiah, just see where he's taking his text from. And verse 18 says, "And the Spirit of the Lord is upon me." Now, I want to stop right there. Jesus just come out of a 40-day fast. Okay, he was tempted in the wilderness by the devil. And the Bible says that he came forth in the power of the Spirit. This is ushering him into his ministry here. And there's some truths within this account here that I want to bring to light that in 1950, when Brother Hagin was taken to heaven and the Lord anointed his hands to minister to the sick and gave him a special anointing, Jesus expounded upon Luke's account here. And I'm going to bring some of the conversation out so we can, it sheds more light on this subject of faith and also healing. So verse 18 saying, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he has anointed me, the anointed one." That's what Christ means, the anointed one, the Messiah. Now this is what he's anointed to do, to preach the good news of the gospel to the poor. That good news is the poor don't have to be poor no more. Okay? The good news is I'm your source. Heaven's your source, not your surroundings or your job or what have you, but I'm your source. "He has sent me to announce release to the captives." So anybody that's taken with anything, there's release. Actually, the Bible talks about the Word of God being the perfect law of liberty. And when you look into the perfect law, which he's making reference to the Word, you constantly see liberation from our Father and from our Savior. "So he sent to set the captives free, and recovery of sight to the blind, and to send forth," I like this, "to send forth as delivered those who are oppressed." The reason he sends them forth is he wants them to tell them. Tell about Jesus. It's a key in this Mark chapter 5. the telling part is so important. Then it says here, who are to send forth as delivered those who are oppressed, who are downtrodden, those who are crushed, those that are bruised and broken down by calamity. So that encompasses everything. And this is the reason why the Spirit of the Lord is upon him. And actually, Jesus is the express image of the Father. If you want to know how the Father looks like, look at Jesus. Look at Jesus. Study every account of healing, and you'll see mercy and compassion to the sick. Verse 19, to proclaim the acceptable and the acceptable year of the Lord, the day when salvation and the free favors of God profusely abound. That word salvation there is, he's talking about soteria. It's an all-encompassing term. It's healing, deliverance, health. As we just read through that account, we see that. And it's actually God's grace being profusely abounding towards humanity. And verse 20 says, then he rolled up the book and gave it back to the attendant and sat down. And the eyes of the Lord, or in the eyes of all in the synagogue, were gazing attentively at him. And he began to speak to them, today this scripture has been fulfilled while you are present and hearing. And all spoke well of him and marveled at the words of grace. Remember, grace and truth came by Jesus Christ. The law came by Moses. So even when Jesus spoke, there was a manifestation of grace, great grace, that came forth from his mouth. And they says, is not this Joseph's son? I've taken this text right here is because I've listened to Kenneth Hagin's ministry for years. And one of his favorite, it's not a series, but is his life in ministry. And he gets into the nine manifestations when the Lord appeared to him, divinely granted appearances. In 1950, when he was taken to Rockwall, Texas, the Lord anointed his hands, gave him a special anointing to minister to the sick. And as he was ministering to Kenneth Hagin, he began to expound upon Luke 4 here. And he made this statement. This is what Jesus told Kenneth Hagin. He said, this is making reference to this account. He says, I didn't preach that just in Nazareth, referring to this account. Everywhere I went, that was the first sermon I preached. Now, that sheds some light. I mean, you can read that account and never have that idea even come into your mind. And I'll help you with this. It'll help you from being redundant. Jesus, everywhere he went, that's his first message he preached. So everywhere I went, that was the first sermon I preached. Wherever the first thing that I did was I told the people that this scripture is fulfilled in your ears. And the key here is that he's anointed. Now, with that being said, I wanted to sort of set the stage for getting into the woman with the issue of blood, okay? As we read the account, you're going to find out when she begins to hear the report about Jesus, what she's actually hearing, you know. Sometimes when we read scripture, you don't exactly know what the individual's hearing. But in this case, what she was hearing is, I'm anointed. So as we read, we'll go to Mark 5, verse 25. I want that thought to be carried in your mind. Verse 25 says, and there was a woman who had a flow of blood. Wait a minute here. No, I'm sorry. I don't want to go there yet. I don't want to go there. I jumped here. I want you to go to Luke 6 first. Luke 6, 17 through 19. I'm not following my outline here. I'm getting ahead of myself. That's all right. Luke 6, 17. Now, I wanted to establish some foundational truths before we dig into the account in Mark. Verse 17 says, "And Jesus came down with them and took his stand on the level spot with a great crowd of his disciples and a vast throng of people from all over Judea and Jerusalem and the seacoast of Tyre and Sidon, who came to listen to him and to be cured of their diseases." Now that's the key: to hear, to listen, and to be cured. To hear, listen, and to be cured. Verse 18, "Even those who were disturbed and troubled with unclean spirits, and they were being healed also. And all the multitude were seeking to touch him." Now, this is what takes place with the account with the woman and the issue of blood. It was one of the things she kept saying, "If I touch the hem of his garment." But I'm setting the stage up to see why she put the action that she did to cause her to be healed. "And the multitudes were seeking to touch him, for healing power was all the while going forth from him and curing them all, saving them from severe illnesses and calamities." So we're seeing that the anointing that he's anointing with is destroying the yoke. The people were first hearing, then being healed. It's vital that you hear. And it's hard, and I said it before and I'll say it again, it's hard to reap a harvest where there's no seed that's sown. It's almost impossible unless you have God moving supernaturally by the gifts of the Spirit, healing an individual. You know, and I've seen that constantly in Ruth Fisher's ministry. I've seen people that were so far in unbelief, things coming out of their mouth being healed miraculously of certain conditions in their body because of the grace gift, the gift of healings being given through a vessel where the faith of the individual is really not coming into play. It's just a gift. So, now, Mark, I want to read Mark's account, Mark 3, 7 through 12 here. Verse 7 says, "And Jesus retired with his disciples to the lake, and a great throng from Galilee followed him, also from Judea, and from Jerusalem, and Idumea, and from beyond the Jordan, and from about Tyre and Sidon, and vast multitudes hearing all the many things that he was doing came to him." Now what they were hearing is he's anointed. That's what's producing the faith for them to come. He's anointed. Verse 9, "And he told his disciples to have a little boat in constant readiness for him because of the crowd, lest they press hard upon him and crush him." So this pressing and crushing upon him by the multitudes is something that's pretty regular. And we'll see that in Mark 5, where the throng was pressing him. But this was common because they're hearing he's anointed. And because they heard and they believed, the power and anointing of God would flow into their bodies to heal them. Verse 10 says, "For he had healed so many that all who had distressing bodily diseases kept falling upon him." You wonder why people fall out under the power? It's because of the anointing. "Pressing upon him in order that they might touch him. And the spirits, the unclean ones, as often as they might see him, fell down before him and kept screaming out, 'You are the Son of God.'" It's amazing what the anointing of God will do. It'll cause devils to begin to cry out. And I don't know if you've been around services like that, but I've watched them, especially like Norval Hayes' ministry. They'll cry out. There'll be people that are possessed with spirits of homosexuality where they'll fall on the floor and start crying out because of the anointing that's present. And in his case, he's anointed along that line in casting out devils in people. And he has great success in getting people liberated. But if you've never seen that in operation, it can really shock you. But it's wonderful. It's wonderful. When it's taking place, it doesn't seem like it, but the results are wonderful. Now let's go to Matthew 14. I'm just setting this little foundation up here. Matthew 14, verse 35. And when the men of that place recognized him, they sent around into all the surrounding countries and brought to him all who were sick. Now, to recognize him, they must have been around and hearing the report. And as a result of that, they had enough sense seeing what was taking place to bring, they sought out people to bring them to be healed. And verse 36 says, and begged him to let them merely touch the fringe of his garment. And as many as touched it were perfectly restored. Now this is interesting. I'm going to read one more account here, and it's Matthew chapter 8, and it's verse 16 and 17. And I want to help clarify some things. And I'm going to read another quote that the Lord spoke to Brother Hagin in this vision, which I believe will begin to unlock a lot of truths within Scripture. Matthew 16 says, and when evening, I didn't have this on there, Josh. When evening came, they brought to him many who were under the power of demons, and he drove out the spirits with a word and restored to health all who were sick. And thus he fulfilled what was spoken by the prophet Isaiah. Now this is the key here, because when you read these accounts, a lot of people think that Jesus just healed everybody, and that's not the case, because when you go to Mark 5, you'll find out that he made the statement to her that her faith made her whole. Now, these other accounts, we're finding out that everybody was healed. Those that were being healed, and I'll read what the Lord said to him. Jesus said to him, under my own ministry, those who did not receive the teaching or the preaching did not receive the healing. Okay, now that's the key here. Those what we read where the multitudes came and were healed, they were receiving the teaching. And like I said to you, sharing of the gospel is the key in getting people healed. Without it, you're not going to reap anything unless God moves by a super manifestation on your behalf. Now they had the accounts I read, they received the teaching and they were healed. But right here in Matthew 16, they're all coming to him. They're all being healed. But verse 17 makes this statement. And thus he fulfilled what was spoken by Isaiah the prophet. He himself took in order to carry away our weaknesses and infirmities and bore away our diseases. Now this statement here gives us a key that the reason a lot of them, all of them were getting healed was for a fulfillment. The fulfillment of Isaiah 53, 4, and 5. And when you read the account in the book of Isaiah, you'll find out the first declaration out of the mouth of Isaiah, he says this, who is going to believe the report? And whom is the arm of the Lord revealed? In other words, this account right here is telling Jesus healed them all for one reason, to fulfill what Isaiah said. Now, because Isaiah has been fulfilled, everybody can come who believes the report. You follow what I'm saying here? So that's key, believing the report. So let's go to Leviticus 15 right now, and we'll set up just a little bit more about what this woman had to deal with. Leviticus 15. 15, verse 19. And this is talking about the law and a woman having an issue of blood. Verse 19, and if a woman has a discharge, her regular discharge of blood of her body, she shall be in her impurity or separation for 7 days. And whoever touches her shall be unclean until evening. Now, the purpose of me reading this is I wanted to paint a picture of what she's contending with. She has an issue here. And as we read Leviticus 6 or 15 here, you're going to see the word unclean, 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 unclean. So that's all that's being spoken to her because she was a Jew. And you find out this is one of the reasons that she came in behind the press to touch him, because she was unclean. Verse 20 says, and everything that she lies on in her separation shall be unclean. Everything also that she sits on shall be unclean. And whoever touches her bed shall wash his clothes and bathe himself in water, and he unclean until evening. So anybody coming around with association of touching something that she's touched, they're unclean. Verse 22, whoever touches anything she sat on, washes clothes and bathes himself in water, and he unclean until evening. Verse 23, and if her flow has stained her bed or anything on which she sat, when he touches it, he shall be unclean until evening. And if any man lie with her and her impurity be upon him, he shall be unclean 7 days. And every bed on which he lies shall be unclean. So this is a contaminating situation here. Now verse 25 is the key because it describes her. And if a woman has an issue of blood for many days. This is beyond her separation time of 7 days. Not during the time of her separation, or if she has a discharge beyond the time of her regular impurity, all the days of the issue of her uncleanness shall be as in the days of her impurity. She shall be unclean. Now, verse 31, this is the kicker here. Thus you shall separate the Israelites from their uncleanness, lest they die in their uncleanness by defiling my tabernacle that is in the midst of them. So she had the death sentence upon her because of her uncleanness. She couldn't even go to the tabernacle, the temple, because of her uncleanness. So in her mind, that's what she's worn with, a constant reminder that she's unclean. It's no different with having maybe an issue with cancer and a constant reminder of you got cancer. The vexation is constantly in your mind. Well, this is what she's dealing with. She can't even go to the tabernacle because of her uncleanness. And this issue is lasting for 12 years. Now let's go to Mark and we'll read the account here and we'll center in on some things here. Now remember, Brother Hagin, he said to Brother Hagin, those who received the teaching and the preaching, or those that did not receive healing. Those that received it, received healing. Now verse 25 says, and there was a woman who had a flow of blood for 12 years. And who had endured much suffering under the hands of many physicians and had spent all that she had and was no better, but instead grew worse. So not only the vexation of unclean being constantly in her mind, she has now that she spent everything upon the physicians and nothing's gotten any better. So she's broke too. So she's dealing with uncleanness, being broke, and the constant vexation, I'm not getting better. I'm not getting any better. Now, verse 27, she had heard the reports concerning Jesus. Now, the reports that she's hearing is he's anointed. Because you'll find out what she did, and that's the reason why I read the other scriptures about the multitudes pressing him just to touch the hem of his garment. She heard the reports concerning Jesus, and she came up behind him in the throng and touched his garment. Notice she came behind. Now, the reason she came behind, because she was unclean. She couldn't be around other people. Anybody touched her, they were unclean. Actually, they had to cry out, unclean, unclean, I'm unclean. I mean, she's a reject in society, basically. So she comes up behind him in the throng and touched his garment. For she kept saying, if only I touch his garments, I shall be restored to health. Now, I wanted to hook up to where we've been talking about the power of confession. Confession brings possession. And I'm going to center in a lot on what she kept saying here. It's interesting that when you read the Amplified account, that's why I chose it, because it uses the word she kept saying. And King James says, for she said, you know, it's not giving you the process or the continual saying. Now, the scripture doesn't say how long she was saying this. Now, under what I believe, this was going on a while. The reason I say that is because what I shared with her, the vexations she's going through, she's unclean. And I believe she even had to calculate where, you know, that's why she was coming behind him. And I'm pretty sure she was being careful that she didn't touch other people. And, you know, she was basically an outcast from the synagogue. She couldn't go. So basically, she's isolated from a lot of people. This is why I'm thinking that this went over a period of time. This wasn't one day. This wasn't one time her saying this. This is something she kept saying. Now, Matthew's account is interesting. Matthew 9:20 says this, that she kept saying to herself. Now, the kingdom of God says this in Luke's gospel, the kingdom of God is if a man casts seed in his own garden. The heart of man is the productive center. Now, if you don't know these certain truths, you just read through these accounts and you're just missing out on everything here. These accounts will begin to liberate you and you'll start seeing the process of faith. Faith is worked. You work it. I'll say it again. You work it. She was working it. She kept saying. She kept saying to herself. She's talking to herself all the time. People probably thought she was a little crazy too. Not only unclean, but she was crazy. She's talking to herself. She's writing upon the table of her heart with this. Okay. Now I spent a lot of time on this because this is the crux of when you get understanding of this. This is the understanding of faith. This is the understanding of faith when you get a hold of this. And like I says, until you start hearing testimonies, people ain't got it yet, because you should be starting to hear testimonies. And if you're working the word and working your faith, God begins to honor you and things begin to happen in your life. That's why I share the testimonies that we've already shared, and I got a lot more. I'll share one right now. It happened to me with my daughter, Brooke, when she was a little girl. She come home from school, and my wife, she was involved with the PTA. She would go to school and different things, and the word was out that chicken pox were going around. Well, our daughter come home one day, and she had the chicken pox. So in our living room, we decided we're going to act on the word. We laid our hands on her, And within 45 minutes after we cursed them chicken pox, they all disappeared. Okay? So what I'm saying to you is, when you begin to learn this, you work it. And you work it in every area of your life. It's no different in the area of healing or finances or believing God for His wisdom, His direction. Faith is your servant. Remember what Luke told us? He's out in the field. When he comes in from the field, you don't tell him to sit down and get something to eat. You say, no, gird yourself and serve me. It's always constantly to be used as your servant. So she kept saying. Now let's look at what we were teaching in the last session here on a couple of these scriptures so we can see what actually is going on here. Proverbs 18:20. Proverbs 18:20 says, a man's belly shall be satisfied with the fruit of his mouth. Remember, she kept saying within herself. Now, the belly is making reference to the inward man, the spirit of man. We can read it that way. A man's inward man shall be satisfied with the fruit of his mouth. Notice the mouth produces fruit. Now, in her instance, she's saying, if I touch the hem of his garment, I'm going to be healed, because she heard the report he's anointed. Yes. And with the increase of his lips shall he be filled, or she, and with the increase of her lips she shall be filled. She was being filled with faith. Actually, I believe she was schooling herself in the faith because of all what she was dealing with. And that's why I believe this was over a period of time. This wasn't a one-day deal. And I'm sure she probably even inquired about the Lord. Because she couldn't get around people. She's unclean. You know, what else? She's hearing the report. What else are you hearing? You know, and they're probably telling him, he's anointed. Everywhere he goes, he's telling people he's anointed. People were pressing on him and getting healed. So that begins to spark faith within her heart. Now, Proverbs 12, verse 6 makes this statement. The words of the wicked are to lie in wait for blood, but the mouth of the upright shall deliver them. Now, I know that she didn't have that understanding. She can't even go to the temple. She's banned because she's unclean. She's not hearing anything. It gives you a key. A person doesn't have to have all the understanding of faith, but it's good to have it so you can instruct people. Her mouth is delivering her. The mouth of the upright shall deliver them. I don't care what situation you're in. The mouth of the upright shall deliver them. Now, Matthew said this concerning the lunatic. And Jesus said unto them, this is when they couldn't cast the devil out of this, disciples couldn't cast the devil out of this lunatic boy, because of your unbelief. For verily I say unto you, if you had faith as a grain of mustard seed, you would say. So she had faith as a grain of mustard seed, for she kept saying. And remember, faith works like a seed. If you know these things, you begin, this is what I'm saying, you work the word. You sit down and you work it. You sit down and you purposely confess it. You purposely say what you're trusting God for. Okay? Then he said here in Matthew also, you shall say unto this mountain, remove hence to yonder place, and it shall remove. And here's the key, and nothing shall be impossible unto you. See, nothing was impossible unto her, but she didn't realize that. The seeds that she was sowing was producing the harvest that she desired, because she kept saying. She talked herself into believing. And I'm sure she warred with unbelief. Now, remember what we read in Luke 17:5-6? This was concerning forgiveness. And it says here, and the apostles said unto the Lord, increase our faith. And the Lord says, if you had faith as a grain of mustard seed, you might say, under this sycamine tree, be thou plucked up by the root and be thou planted in the sea, and it should obey you, or it would obey you, is what the Amplified says. For increase in faith, there's the saying. This is why I'm saying I believe this was more over a process of time. Now, I want to share a little testimony. This happened with Norville Hayes. He's ministering in a Baptist church. And there's a young boy who's dying. The pastor of the church asked Norville, would you come and pray for this young boy? And the reason the pastor asked him to come was Norville was teaching on the subject of faith. And this sparked belief in this pastor. And this pastor says, Norville, I think you can help this boy. Will you come and pray for him? He says, yeah, I'll come and pray for him. So they go to the hospital. They go. He's in intensive care. And he's on his deathbed. He's hardly breathing. And they get permission to go in to pray for him. And the people in the ICU says, you only got 2 minutes. Only 2 minutes. And you've got to come out. So they go in. And the wife of this young man, he's only like 21 years old, just been recently married. She's sitting there in tears. He's hardly breathing. He's on his deathbed. Actually, they gave him up to die. So as he was in the room, they said a short prayer. And the nurses come in and said, you got to go now. You got to go. He said, Norville says, I turned away, took a step, and I heard the word of the Lord. Mark 11:23 will heal him if it was obeyed. He said that shocked him. So he goes back over. Now he's in a coma, hardly breathing. The only one he can minister is to his wife. And he said, honey, the Lord just spoke to me. It said Mark 11:23 would heal your husband if it was obeyed. You know what Mark 11:23 says? No. Well, I'll tell you what it says. It says you can have what you say. Can you start saying my husband will live and not die? My husband will live and not die. Can you do that? Jesus said you can have what you say. You want your husband to live? And she said, oh, yeah. Can you say your husband will live and not die? She says, yeah. He said, well, let me hear you say it. She don't say nothing. He says, you got to say it. You got to say it. Now, the Holy Ghost is moving, okay? He has to school her into begin to say. So finally, he gets her convinced to start saying. So she starts saying, my husband will live and not die. And she's like real low, my husband will live and not die. And he says, darling, say it like you believe it. Say it like you mean it. Say it loud. So she began to say it. And he kept saying it. Keep it up. He's coaching her. Keep it up. Now, this might sound absolutely bizarre and, right. But anyhow, she kept it up. Her husband began to progressively get better. Within 2 weeks, he was off the respirator. Norval ends up leaving town, ministering other places. He gets invited back to the church about 6 months later. He comes back to the church, doesn't know anything that went on, except for what he did in that hospital room. So he gets up to preach, and the pastor says, there's somebody here that wants to give a testimony that you had something to do with. And Norval forgot all about it. So this young man comes up, and Norval said he didn't even recognize him because of the condition he was in. And he said, I got a testimony. The Lord healed me, and it was a result of what Brother Norval Hayes taught my wife when he was in the hospital room when I was dying. And my wife grabbed the hold of Mark 11:23, he shall have whatsoever he saith. And my wife began to say, my husband will live and not die. And she continued to say that. So Norval started to inquire of the wife, how long did you say that? Now this is getting back. She kept saying, this is why I'm saying, I believe this was over a period of time. She kept saying it. He says, well, how long was it before you begin to see a change? She says, well, it was probably within 2 weeks. His breathing began to get normal. And then they decided after his breathing became normal, they were going to take him off the respirator, and they did it. But she kept saying it and saying it until he was released. So this was something she set in motion over a period of time. What a lot of people don't realize is whether you're prayed the prayer of faith according to James 5:14 and 15, you are to believe that you receive if you're petitioning him, then you're to hold fast your confession of faith, or you're to hold fast to what you believe. And your believing must be released through your lips because you're operating your faith like a seed. Or in her case, there was no prayer. It was through her saying. This woman doesn't get prayed for, she said. And because of her words, she made a demand on the anointing. For she kept saying. Now, 2 Corinthians 4:13 says this. We having the same spirit of faith according as it is written. I believed and therefore have I spoken. We also believe and therefore speak. The spirit of faith is recognizable. And it's laid out right here. Believing and speaking. Believing and speaking. Notice, I believed, and therefore have I spoken. Past tense. We also believe, and therefore speak. Present tense. She kept saying. I'm sure she kept saying, if I touch but the hem of his garment, I'll be whole on Monday. And I don't know how many times she said it. And then when Tuesday came, and when she looked back to Monday, which was past tense, she believed, and therefore she spoke. But today's Tuesday. Today's Tuesday, present tense. She believes and therefore speak. If I touch but the hem of his garment, I'll be made whole. Wednesday comes around. She looks back to Tuesday. She looks back to Monday. She believed and therefore she spoke. But Wednesday's present tense. She believes and therefore speaks. If I touch but the hem of his garment, I'll be whole. The spirit of faith is recognizable. It's believing and speaking. Believing and speaking. Now, after she said, for she kept saying, this is verse 28, if I only touch his garment, I shall be restored to health. And immediately her flow of blood was dried up at the source, and suddenly she felt. Notice the feeling came after the saying. Now there was a steps that she took. One was she said, then she did. She did what she say. The saying and the doing are your actions. Your saying and your doing is your action. Most of your action is in your saying. Because a lot of times, whatever you're trusting God for, there's not much you can do in the natural. In other words, if there's a condition in your body, you can only go so far. Your actions can only go so far because of symptoms. The majority of your action is going to be in your saying. That's why the spirit of faith is recognizable. That's how you can tell if a person's in faith or not, by what they're saying. You locate them, is what they're saying. Well, the thing that she did next after she did what she said. Then she felt. People want the feeling first. The feeling doesn't come first. The saying and the doing comes first. Then you'll feel. With the woman or with the boy that was dying, it was a couple weeks before his breathing began to get normal. You can begin to say things. Now, I did this with myself, and I'm going to share this testimony. I had a kidney stone, and I went to the doctors. They checked it. I went to the urologist. I went to the radiologist. He actually was my neighbor who took the pictures of my kidneys, and he says, "Mr. Walters, you want to see that stone?" I said, "Yeah, I want to see that stone." He said, "It's right there. You see that?" I said, "Yes, I do." Well, he's not allowed to do this, but since he was my neighbor, went to school with my daughter, he says, "I'll show you this." Well, it was right here in my kidney, and it was hurting, and it was hurting bad. Now, I made this choice. I'm going to stand. Now, I've stood for a lot of things, and that's why I give you testimonies. I just don't, you know, if you had to deal with the issue, my wife just passed one because we were in agreement. We ministered to the Lord. We laughed in the spirit, and it was the following Tuesday after a Sunday of ministering to the Lord. She passed it without pain. Okay, now when I passed mine, I went through hell. Okay, and I was out of town when it happened. Okay, and I'm not telling anybody to do what I did, but I have trusted God through a lot of things. Oh, I'm going to pass this stone. This thing is coming out of me in Jesus' name. And I would talk constantly to my kidney. I would talk constantly to that stone. And I would have to take ibuprofen, Aleve, Excedrin, extra strength. I mean, I'm talking lots of them because I got to work. I can't sleep at night because of the pain. And I got to go to work and I got to run a train. And this is going on for about 3 months. Okay? Now, this is between my wife and I. We're the only ones to know about it. And I would have her lay hands on my kidney, talk to that thing. Command that stone in Jesus' name. You can't stay in there. My wife at times would scream, "You can't stay in there in Jesus' name." So I go to work one day. I don't know what's going to happen. I'm up in my hotel room. And I wake up and I'm in this cold sweat. And I take the covers off and I sort of like roll out of bed. When I rolled out of bed, I couldn't stand up. And I'm in this severe pain. So I crawl over to where the sink was. And I turned the sink light on, and I actually forced myself up like this, and I could hardly stand. And I says, "Lord, I need your help. I need your help." And I said, "In Jesus' name, stone, you can't stay in me." And I went like this, and I pushed myself up. When I pushed myself up, I thought somebody stuck me with a knife. It put it right in here. Well, I passed it. Okay? I passed it right then. I passed that stone, and right after I passed it, all the pain was gone. All the pain was gone. I ended up having to call the supervisor. I says, I think I did. You can't tell them a lot of stuff. They don't believe what you're saying. I says, "Can you have a supervisor take me to the hospital? I think I passed a kidney stone." So they took me to the hospital. They did another x-ray. They come out. There's no stone there. I said, "Praise God, I passed the stone." But my point in saying this is, over a period of time, you will begin to see change if you're believing in your heart that what you're saying is coming to pass. Most people want to throw the towel in. See, now I had the saying, I had the doing. I did what I could do in the natural to take the steps to go to work and have what I do. Okay? I took all kind of pain medication, and I can't take nothing it's illegal or it's strong because of I'm operating a train. They won't allow me, and I'm drug tested all the time. So I'm taking what I can take just to numb some of the pain. But my action is limited. But where my most action is with my mouth. In praise, thanksgiving, commanding it to go, speaking in line with His word. Then I felt. I wish I would have felt first, but I didn't. And I know what it's like to stand for a period of time concerning things. But if you will not throw in the towel, your faith will see you through. Your faith will continue to operate. So she felt in her body after she said and she did. Now, verse 29, and we'll close this up. "And immediately the flow of her blood was dried up at the source, and suddenly she felt in her body that she was healed of the distress and ailment. And Jesus, recognizing in himself that power proceeded forth from him, had gone forth, turned around immediately in the crowd and said, "Who touched my clothes?" Now, in this case, with the multitude strong, only one person got healed. And that's why I laid the foundation when I first started to give you the reason why multitudes before were getting healed, and all of them. But in this case here, she's the only one. And it was because of her faith. And he says, "Daughter, your faith has made you whole." She trembled and she feared giving the testimony because of this reason. She's unclean. She's unclean. That's why she's fearing and trembling. She knew what the law had to say. But her faith seen her through. Now, I want to finish this up here with another conversation. This happened to be the conversation that the Lord gave to Kenneth Hagin concerning this account right here. He made this statement. Jesus said, this is in a visitation concerning this woman with the issue of blood. He said, "Positively or negatively speaking," this is Jesus speaking, "positively or negative speaking, it's up to the individual." It's up to the individual. I don't get all upset when people don't get healed. My testimony, I can give you testimony after testimony. And that's why I give them. I don't get upset when I'm praying for other people and if I don't see a manifestation or if they don't work their faith. I don't get upset because I know what these truths say. Positively or negatively speaking, it's up to the individual. According to what the individual says, that shall he receive. If you're struggling financially, change your saying, put a button on your mouth, and start declaring that you're God supplying your every need. If you're lacking wisdom, Christ has been made unto me wisdom. I believe in Jesus' name, Lord, you're leading me by your Spirit. I'm being led and I have your wisdom. Begin to say that. And say it every day. And all of a sudden you'll start seeing the supernatural wisdom of God being manifested. And you'll begin to move in line with His Spirit. Now he said this. This woman could have made a negative confession. She could have. Instead of a positive one. And that would have been what she received. But she didn't make that negative confession. See, it's a choice. She didn't make that. Remember, the mouth of the upright shall deliver them. It shall. Amen. Let that just sink in you to anchor your soul. And he said this, your actions, that's in the saying and the doing, defeat you or they'll put you over. They'll defeat you or put you over. This is why I'm saying I believe this was over a period of time because of what she was dealing with in her mind. Over a period of time, if I touch but the hem of his garment. I'm hearing the reports. I'm sure she went around, tell me a little bit more. She had to be careful who she got near. She couldn't touch nobody, you know. Tell me, I'm allowed near you, I'm unclean. I can't touch you, I can't hug you, but tell me some more. Tell me some more of the report. Okay, your sayings, your actions, your sayings and doings defeat you or they put you over. According to your actions, you receive or you are kept from receiving. You receive or you're kept from receiving by your actions. Now let that just sink into your thinking. Your actions. Your actions is what's going to separate you from victory and defeat. Will you choose to act? Will you choose to say? In the area of finances, will you choose to give? Will you choose to be obedient and tithe? Will you choose to begin to decree what God decrees? It'll make all grace abound towards you. He'll cause every favor and earthly blessing come to you in abundance so that you may always, under all circumstances, no matter what the need, be self-sufficient, possessing enough that you don't need anybody else. That's what's available. But it's accessed through the saying and the doing. And it works the same. It works the same. So if you've been saying, and if you've had issues in your body, because there's stuff that I still deal with that I'm still trusting God for in my own body. And I say it every day. I don't know how many times a day I say, Father, I thank you that I am healed by the stripes of Jesus. And by doing that, you begin to take that shield of faith to surround you, to protect you. So if the wicked one begins to fire a fiery dart, the shield of faith is already quenched and it doesn't come nigh you. 1,000 may fall at your side and 10,000 at your right hand, but it's not coming nigh you because you've already decreed. And you've been decreeing. You've been setting these things in motion. I don't care what's coming on in this nation or what might be, you know, taking place. I'm believing that my God is supplying my every need. In Jesus' name, I'll be fine. And that's how it works. So the key here, sometimes when I minister, I look to the Lord for direction, and he hasn't released me on the saying part. Because like I said, you'll start hearing testimonies where people start putting their faith in operation. And they'll start seeing manifestations, okay? And that's when you know that they're getting a hold of it. They're getting a hold of it. I know the first time that I heard the message of healing, and it was my wife that had a sore throat, and she asked me to pray for her. I laid hands on her, and she was instantly healed. But it wasn't until I acted. And this was years ago. I mean, I could have said, nah, you know, but I took that step of faith, laid hands on her, and she was healed. Praise God. I think we're closed there now. We're done. Right. All right.
Thank you, Lord. Let's lift our hands and give him glory this morning. Amen. Thank you, Father God. Thank you, Lord, for your mercy and your goodness. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. It'll be just like a train. We'll just hook right up here in a few minutes. Amen.
Amen.
Praise God. Hebrews 10:23. Marvelous message this morning. The Apostle Paul says here, let us hold fast the confession of our faith without wavering. Then it goes on to say, for he is faithful that promised. In other words, he'll do what he said.
Amen.
Well, God said in his word, he will do. Amen. And I just had this one thing as Brother Dan was ministering the word this morning, just that the Holy Spirit just kind of stirs you up, you know, and that the greatest weapon that you and I have, the Bible says, take the word of God, the sword of the Spirit, that's out of your mouth, you know, and just by speaking like you're doing, you know what I mean, saying the word of God, you know, you're cutting things in the spirit realm, cutting things out, amen. And it's bringing those blessings to manifestation in our lives. Amen. So we're not to become weary in well-doing. Amen. We're to continue to speak his word. Amen. Father, today we thank you so much for the revelation of your word and in our hearts today about how powerful our words really are, that our words are like keys in the spirit realm, Lord, that unlock and open doors that otherwise could never be opened. And Lord, in this instance today, especially with the physical well-being of our body, Father, it's not your will that we get sick and then get healed. It's your will that we stay in health, Father. That's what you said in your word. Praise God. Say this after me as we close here today. Say, Lord,
Lord,
I thank you.
I thank you.
That your word
is medicine.
Is medicine to all my flesh.
To all my flesh.
I say today. I am healthy.
I am healthy.
I am made whole.
I am made whole.
And I am healed.
And I am healed.
By Jesus' stripes.
By Jesus' stripes.
Thank you, Lord.
Thank you, Lord.
Amen. Praise the Lord.
I am.
We're going to go ahead and take a break. We'll see you.